Dolomite is my name, and fucking up motherfuckers is my game. Welcome to my dojo. This is Kung Fu Pizza Party, and I'm your host, Brandon Knight. And today, as we are closing out February and Black History Month, I am here to review Dolomite, starring Rudy Ray Moore. Here on Kung Fu Pizza Party, I seek to deliver high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and serve up some wisdom one slice at a time. I said this once already this month, folks. February has been almost nothing but O2 episodes. We had one for Valentine's Day, one for the Friday the 13th before Valentine's Day, had a Lunar New Year, and now we, with Black History Month taking place here in February, I wanted to once again sit down and watch a blaxploitation film. This time, one that I knew about, had never seen, and boy, am I so happy to have finally sat down and watched Dolomite, starring Rudy Ray Moore. This movie is one part iconic, one part controversial, though I feel like that might be a bit of a strong word, but for lack of a better word at the moment, and one part extremely quirky. It has a fascinating history, especially surrounding the character, Dolomite, which I kind of knew already. I knew a little bit of that part, but it's such a ride. Would I watch Dolomite again? Oh, absolutely. Would I own a copy of Dolomite? Give me this one and all the rest of them, which I'll talk about more here in a second. I am a podcaster, and so I'm supposed to make sweeping declarations about things as part of being a podcaster. And so I would say Dolomite is a must-watch blaxploitation film. I would easily say this is a top 20 most iconic blaxploitation film of all time. Now, I am a white dude in the Midwest with a podcast. Okay? So I'm going to let actual experts, actual well-knowledged people on the subject of blaxploitation films weigh in on if the movie should be higher up than within the top 20. I am just a glorified fanboy, again, because that's what podcasting is. You're just a fanboy. Just as a glorified fanboy, I would say, yeah, easily top 20. Any higher than that, I would like to refer out to the experts to let me know if Dolomite is a top 10, maybe even higher film. But easily, if, as you have been listening to this series, if this is this blaxploitation genre, if this is something that has really started to appeal to you, you definitely need to take the time to watch this original Dolomite film. It is iconic. The character is iconic. It produced an entire trilogy of films. We have here the first installment, Dolomite, in 1975. A few years later, there was a follow-up film called The Human Tornado. And then in the early 2000s, a third film came out called Dolomite Returns. And then there was another one. So because this has happened more than once, if you've been listening to this show for a while, you know that this is like a thing that happens, that sometimes movies are given titles to help market them, whether they're actually a part of a certain franchise or not. So we have two in the 70s, one in the early 2000s, but in between The Human Tornado and Dolomite Returns, in the 90s, there was a movie that came out called Shaolin Dolomite, starring Rudy Ray Moore. But he, in the movie, is playing a character named Monk Rudy. Can't make this stuff up, folks. Monk Rudy. R-U space D-E-E. Rudy. So the movie is called Shaolin Dolomite. Whether it's actually canonical within the rest of the franchise, again, I guess I will defer to the experts. As I've said, this is kind of a thing that happens, especially here with like 70s movies, and honestly, even still to this day, when a B-film or a direct-to-streaming, direct-to-DVD style film, an asylum film, is trying to capitalize off of the popularity of a major blockbuster thing. You know, they'll tweak the title, kind of change some things, all that kind of stuff. But it's similar enough to make you go, oh, okay, I know what you're trying to do there. With all of that, so like I said, there's a trilogy of films. It might have four installments, who knows. But there's also a biopic on Rudy Ray Moore. It's a Netflix original film called Dolomite Is My Name, starring Eddie Murphy as Rudy Ray Moore. And though I have not seen this movie, hearing about this movie when it first initially came out, I think that was in 2019, that was initially what kind of like got me interested in wanting to check out this series of films, no matter how many installments there are, because Rudy Ray Moore is fascinating. And there's some very interesting things about the film series that takes me now to the plot of this movie, but also kind of gets us into the more, again, I don't want to say controversial, complicated, maybe the complicated part about this movie. Complicated, not even just from a pish-posh modern 2026 viewer standpoint, but even from a 1970s film standpoint. So this movie follows Rudy Ray Moore's character, Dolomite. He is a pimp who, at the beginning of the movie, is being let out of prison for two reasons. One, they had, like, trumped up some charges against him to put him behind bars. You know, he was imprisoned falsely for crimes he didn't commit. But another reason is because one of those crimes that they had alleged he had done was putting drugs onto the streets. And after his arrest and incarceration, not only did the flow of drugs continue, but it actually got worse without his presence in his community. And so kind of strikes a deal with the local government. Okay, we're going to release you if you will help us clean up the streets. And Dolomite is all for that idea. Cool. He gets back out there and reconnects with his prostitutes, his harem of women, including his main girl, but all the women love him because he's an awesome dude. And together they work to figure out where are the drugs coming from, who's pushing them, who set up Dolomite in the first place to get him arrested previously, all while trying to deal with crooked, extremely racist white cops who are just trying any conceivable idea to get Dolomite thrown back into prison. And you might be wondering, so like, how are the prostitutes, how are the hookers helping with this process? Good question. They know kung fu. Dolomite can fight as well. He's a little bit more of like, give me a gun, I'm just going to shoot everything up right now. But his hookers, the bulk of them, all take kung fu classes. Not because he wants them to, like this is just like their hobby that they have. This is all very normal stuff, folks. I hope you can tell from the tone in my voice that this is all just very normal things for the 70s. I guess I wasn't there. And in the end, it all works out. The day is saved thanks to Dolomite. And if you can't guess what part makes this film a little dated, a little complicated, even for the time period it came out, it's the pimp part. It is not uncommon, from what I have seen in blaxploitation films, it is not uncommon for there to be a morally gray, amoral pimp character in a film to serve the very specific purpose of communicating information to the hero. That does happen in these movies. And it's almost just like a plot point to move things along, a plot device to move things along. And honestly, from that standpoint, it kind of makes sense, because who's going to have insider information on what's been going on the streets and kind of like the crime world in the community? Okay, yeah, the pimp or the women who work for him are going to have that information. So that part is fine. As I said, this movie is extremely stereotypical 70s. Dolomite looks like a pimp. And I mean the very stereotypical, that idea you have in your head of what a pimp would look like. That is what he looks like in this film. Honestly, it's awesome. It's a really cool look, but also doesn't age or date very well. There's also this big aspect of the fact that, like, Dolomite's not necessarily an anti-hero, especially in relation to the women who work for him. He is, I guess the best way to put it would be the fact that he is the world's greatest boss. Like, seriously, the world's greatest boss. All the women who work for him love him. He has an incredibly great and very sexual relationship with all of them. And by the way, while we're talking about the prostitutes, you know, the kung fu part, obviously, I was being a little, again, just like stereotypical. Everybody knew kung fu in the 70s, apparently. In the 2010s, Michael J. White made a film called Black Dynamite. It's awesome. It is an awesome movie if you haven't seen it. And this movie is supposed to be a comedy spoof homage of the blaxploitation genre as a whole. But it's also supposed to be taking a lot of its cues from Dolomite. And now that I've seen Dolomite, oh, heck yeah, it does. From Michael J. White's look, especially a lot of his like facial expressions, to the fact, and this is what they're called in Black Dynamite, okay? To the fact that in Black Dynamite, he too is also cleaning up the streets of drugs in his community with his kung fu bitches. That's what they're called in the movie. It's not so much like he's not like a pimp or anything. It's just that he has his main girlfriend and a lot of other women in his life as well. So this movie is, again, that kind of goes back to the iconic part of like, even still in the 2010s, Michael J. White can sit down and make a movie that pokes fun and pulls from this film and this character. But it's, I can understand somebody watching this movie and all of this stereotypicalness doesn't sit well with you. This is, as much as I love classic Luke Cage Power Man 70s Power Man comics, this is, I would say, similar to that in the regards of how some of the things that were written and drawn about the character doesn't actually age well and represent Black culture in the 70s as well as it could, from Power Man's look to the fact that his name was Power Man. Marvel just basically calls him Luke Cage now. But the fact that a pimp is being displayed so positively isn't just a modern white dude from the Midwest sensibilities of, yeah, that's not a good look, but it also didn't sit well necessarily in the 70s. Obviously, the character Dolomite was extremely popular. The movies did well. And the character, I cannot emphasize them enough, but I will explain it more in a moment. This character was very popular. But the idea of a super heroic pimp, not so much. I talked about that a lot last year when I reviewed Foxy Brown starring Pam Grier. A lot of Pam Grier's movies, possibly all of them, if I really sat down and looked through the filmography, typically was not the blaxploitation film where it's a Black hero, an African-American hero, going up against crooked white cops or neo-Nazis or, you know, the other more race-fueled, you know, the mafia, the race issues that were covered in the film. As much as it was, like with Foxy Brown and other Pam Grier films, pimps. A lot of her movies deal with going up against pimps and abusers of women. When we talk about in the modern era, in the current times, when we talk about destigmatizing sex workers, that includes both hookers, but also just people who make content on OnlyFans, for example, or spicy content on TikTok and Instagram and Facebook. But when we talk about that, we're always talking about the individual making the content or the individual doing the work, not the person who's taking a percentage of their earnings or physically, financially, emotionally abusing them. Those people is not who we're talking about. Usually the destigmatizing of sex workers is on the workers. And we see that in Pam Grier's films where, and even just the previous episode when I reviewed Blue Eye Samurai, we see that sex is used oftentimes by women in media as a way to take power and control back in their lives and to bring down sex crazy men, for lack of toxic sex crazy men. Uh-oh. This is just a week of me trying to get in trouble with the censors, I guess. So when you get past the pimp part, the movie's a lot of fun. It is 90 minutes in and out, total nonstop action, wink. A lot of action, and very easily accessible. I watched it on the Roku channel. I saw it's also on Tubi, Fossum, basically any of the free streaming platforms. And it looks like all of the movies are available on the free streaming platform. So it will be easy for me to continue to talk about this character because I had a lot of fun with it. But if you watch this movie and the pimp aspect, this depiction of a beloved pimp character, I could see why that would maybe give you pause or even maybe turn you off from the character. Trying to make a sympathetic character this way, even in the 70s, didn't necessarily win everybody over. Now, I don't know if they're ever going to sit down and remake Dolemite, but hey, remakes are always on the table for every movie in existence, right? And I don't know if there's a way to, like, remake this movie in the modern times whatsoever. It might have to just stay as a period piece, which is fine. An issue with a lot of modern remakes is the fact that we do try to modernize them or put them in the current times rather than just let it sit as a period piece, essentially. But I did think of one thing that might help a little bit to shift it over to make the character more comfortable to sit with. And it's this: you go the Green Hornet route. So I love the Green Hornet, especially the Van Williams, Bruce Lee series. And the big thing about the Green Hornet is the fact that they masqueraded as crime bosses to infiltrate the crime world and bring it down from within. They weren't actually doing anything illegal. It was an act to get into this world and also to, like, kind of keep everyone else at bay too, because they were perceived to be crime bosses. Apparently really bad ones, because everywhere they went, everything was falling apart. But that's one of those things you just shouldn't think about too much. And I think to make a movie where instead of, hey, this guy's a pimp and he's a good guy and everybody, including his women, love him, you make it a facade. You make it a character that he's playing to infiltrate the underworld. So he's not actually a pimp. None of these women are actually being pimped out, but they use this as a character, use this at mutually, consensually, as a way to bring down the crime world from within. And I would say just sitting with it for a moment, that I think would help. But obviously, I'm not making a 1970s pimp action film anytime soon. I do want to make a 70s action film. And clearly, to do that well, as I continue to put my list of things together that you need for an awesome 70s action film, you have to be anti-drugs, because that is one thing that continues to be an indicator that this person is the hero, is that they may have questionable other decisions in their life, but typically the hero is anti-drug within their community. By the way, great news for all the other Green Hornet fans out there, especially of that 1960s television series. That show is incredibly difficult to find on streaming or on DVD, Blu-ray, anything like that. But I have a bootleg copy on DVD of the entire series, plus the crossover episodes with Batman 66. So I will be happy to review that with you all sometime. And if I have to, I will also begrudgingly watch the Seth Rogen movie and tell you how awful it is. Dolomite, as our time starts to run down here for this episode, Dolomite is an iconic, complicated, and quirky film. But the quirkiness doesn't stop with this movie. And I know what you're thinking, Brandon, how can a pimp and kung fu fighting hookers get any quirkier than that? It's the fact that this character existed prior to this movie. This is actually, to put it into a place where we would maybe all be more familiar, the character Dolomite is actually similar to when a Saturday Night Live sketch gets so popular that they eventually can make a movie about it. You see, this movie came out in 1975, but Dolomite existed prior to 1975. The story goes that Rudy Ray Moore, this is his film debut. Dolomite is his film debut. He was a comedian prior to that and working at a record shop, and one time heard this like spoken word toast about an urban hero named Dolomite. And he loved the idea so much that he created an entire persona that he would do stand-up bits as. That's the super abridged version of the origin of Dolomite. But this character existed prior to this movie for a while. Rudy Ray Moore would do bits, and not just like, you know, how Jim Gaffigan does like the weird voices to pretend to be audience members. Like, no, this was more like kayfabe and wrestling, where this was an entire character that he would take on and like be when he would do his stand up. Furthermore, one thing you will see here in Dolomite, the movie, is that he does these rhyming spoken word bits throughout the movie as well. These were things that Rudy Ray Moore as Dolomite would do as well. And usually, to oversimplify things, these were usually funny, raunchy, and stick it to the man kind of material. But he was so good at it, and so fast when he would do these. Even watching this movie, I was very tired. I watched it a little late last night, and I may have had a few beers ahead of time. So there were some points where I was like, wait, what? What did he say? Like, I listened to rap music, and I was still kind of like, what? What did he say? I missed that part. But just really leaning into how white I am in this movie, in this episode. Do you want me to say talk and jive? So he's talking jive in this movie. Just gonna continue to let the world burn around me, I guess. So he's doing all these spoken word bits as the character doing stand-up and also in the movie itself, and he was so good at it and so fast and topically dealt with so many overarching themes that he is considered the grandfather of rap. It's pretty similar as thematically, style-wise, the whole bit. He is considered to be the grandfather of rap because I think rap comes shortly thereafter and it explodes with popularity in the 80s. into the 90s especially. So it's fascinating, and I'm so excited. All complicatedness aside for a moment, I am very excited to spend more time with this character, to check out the Eddie Murphy film, the maybe other installment that came out in the 90s. Who cares? Rudy Ray Moore is a lot of fun, and he made several action films. Disco Godfather, I think is the name of one of his other movies that I'm really interested in checking out now. I think that one's on YouTube. But yeah, that looks like that's it for today's episode, though. So thank you all for listening. And thank you to all of the Black men and women throughout history who has generously and graciously shared their art and culture with us. And maybe a weird one to pick for Black History Month, retrospectively, reviewing Dolemite. But I, yes, just want to say that thank you to those who have shared your art with us. I love it. I love this. I love Blaxploitation films so much. So thank you. I'm very grateful that these movies were made. And even if they are complicated, and even if at times they make me go, man, we really screwed up talking about white people. Continue to screw up. I just am thankful for this form of art to continue to illuminate things in life for me, different perspectives. If you haven't yet already, please rate and review this show wherever you get your podcast. Pass this episode along to a friend, and check out the other great shows here on the In This Owl Ministry Podcast Network, like Your Matter Matters, Page and Pixel, and Theology on the Rocks, along with my sister show, My Seminary Life. You can follow my YouTube channel, Studio 219, a place for faith and pop culture. You can follow the show on Instagram, at Kung Fu Pizza Party, and on Letterboxd, Kung Fu Pizza, P-R-T-Y, where you can get an early review of the movie before the episode comes out. This has been Kung Fu Pizza Party, where I have delivered high-flying action in 3 minutes or less, and served up some wisdom, one slice at a time.